Recognition, power, and influence is your birthright, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 213. Today's episode is about something that I call goal delusion. Many of you are walking around thinking that your goal in certain situations, like interviewing or scheduling a meeting with an important person at work or losing 20 pounds, is to get something big and fantastical. When in reality, a lot of times our goal for having these types of conversations or scheduling an interview is much smaller than we think it is. And when we can really get over our goal delusions, then we can, one, start achieving bigger and better and more badass goals. And two, we can feel accomplished so that we can make forward progress. So as we enter into 2024, I wanted to take some time to really think about our goals, make sure that we're not being delusional about them, and reset our expectations so that we can get bigger and better results. All right, let's get started.
Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out, because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms.
Hello, corporate badasses. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer. And super excited, as always, to be here with you again this week. It's actually been several weeks since I recorded a podcast episode, and so I am very genuinely excited to come to you with some information that I've been mulling in my mind for the past 6 weeks, thinking about today's podcast episode and all of the gems that I want to share with you. But also really just acknowledging this getting back to work week. And I really want to acknowledge any of you who are feeling a bit unfocused, a little lethargic, still hungover from the holidays, either literally or metaphorically, really looking forward and anticipating what is to come in 2024, but not letting your guard down, like being realistic about expectations and so on and so on. And I think that when I first had the idea for today's podcast episode, which I'll get into in a minute, it's about goals, right? And this idea of goals and how we can better approach goals. And I decided purposefully not to record this episode at the end of 2023 because I really think that now is the time that we need to hear it most, because this is the time of year when a lot of goals are set from a unrealistic, needy, graspy, shaming, if only I could get it together kind of way. And I want to challenge that. And then I also want to give you a different approach to goal setting and goal achievement. And it's actually really something that I haven't heard before, but I practice it daily in my life. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to share it with each one of you. Before I do that, I want to offer you a roadmap as you enter into 2024 and you really think about what are the key things that I can start to do as I kick off this year. And about, I think it was actually in June, I led a workshop on the first 30, 60, 90 days of a new role. I actually have an old podcast episode that I can link to in the show notes as well about what to do to really set yourself up for success in a new role. And I created a full, I think it's almost 10-page PDF document with everything that you can do to set yourself up for future success in your first 30, 60, 90 days. And I've been giving that away for free to anyone who is on my newsletter and following me on social media over the past few weeks. And it's been incredibly surprising how people have been able to use it for their 2024 planning and really thinking about whether they're starting a new role or not, how they want to approach this year differently, and what are some of the tools that they want to put into place over the first quarter. So If you want to download that free PDF, I also want to offer it to you. You go to stacymayer.com/90-day plan. You get that, you sign up, you get it for free immediately. You can start putting it into place yesterday. You can use all of my materials that I talk about on my podcast, in my trainings, to execute on this. But I definitely wanted to offer that to you and encourage you to go and download that so that you feel like you have a roadmap for this first quarter of the year. stacymayer.com/90-day plan. It's totally free, incredibly valuable, and it sets you up for everything that you need. So goal setting and what I'm calling today's podcast episode is goal delusion. And I really think that the reason that we're unable to achieve the goals that we want is because we're not actually sure what the goal is that we're trying to achieve. So the reason that we're constantly failing at achieving our goals is because we're not actually sure what the goal is that we're trying to achieve. This is so key as we enter this new year and we really start thinking about what it is that we want from the new year. What is it that you really want, and what are you trying to achieve by doing this action to get you to that larger goal? And I'm going to break all of this down for you today, but it's so fascinating. And I see it time and time again, because I always ask my clients to share with me a win from the last time that we spoke. And sometimes they have a really hard time coming up with a win. Sometimes they say something is a win and I don't really think it's a win. I actually think it's a step backwards. Sorry. Sometimes they're like proud of themselves for something, but they're very shy to share it with me. There's just like this whole gamut of the way that we celebrate ourselves and celebrate our achievements. And I notice that oftentimes the women on my calls are not celebrating the thing that I would celebrate for them. And that's partially due to this fact that they don't know why they took a certain action. They have a goal delusion. Something that occurred to me recently is I took an exercise class. It was at the beginning of the summer, last summer, and it was a private, like a semi-private group training. So it was more costly than a regular gym, and I really enjoyed it. But the part that confused me about this exercise program is I was lifting these weights, and I would feel really good about myself because I was able to achieve. I was able to hit my goals. So because it was a semi-private class, they gave me weights that were manageable. And I started to feel really proud of myself. And I was like, wow, I'm really hitting my goals. Like, I'm good. I'm strong. Look at this. This is really wonderful. And then I decided to transition that class into a larger group program where I wasn't going to be given the lighter weights I didn't have a trainer that was going to make it manageable for me. And so I had to manage those expectations myself. And I went to the first couple of classes and I felt really bad about myself. And I was thinking that I wasn't strong, that I wasn't able to achieve my goals, that I was like, I can't do this. So I did the manageable exercise class and I constantly felt, wow, I'm doing it. I'm killing it. I'm so good. And then I entered a larger group format where somebody else wasn't managing the weights and the expectations for me, and I started to feel like a failure. And I asked myself, why am I taking this exercise class? And this was actually the birth of the goal delusion and where I really started to think about the process that I use to create achievement in my life. And I instantly realized that my goal with this exercise class was not to be able to lift a ton of weights, like not to feel accomplished. Not, really, honestly, it wasn't to feel anything. I didn't need this exercise class to feel good about myself. But I also don't want to feel bad about myself. I don't want to go to this exercise class on a regular basis and feel like a failure. So why am I taking this exercise class? Why am I doing this? And I really simplified my goal. I said to myself, you know, I am taking this exercise class to get off my butt, to move around a circuit, to be around other people, and to lift some weights. My long-term goal is to be strong and powerful and, you know, to be able to do all of these weights easily and to just feel like I'm in control and all of those things. But on a micro level, I am taking this exercise class because I need to get off the couch. I need to have a way to be accountable. I need to show up for myself and lift some freaking weights. I need to do something hard. I need to challenge myself. As soon as I switched my goal, as soon as I got more realistic that my goal was not for everything to be easy and for me to feel super strong, then I showed up to more exercise classes. It got very clear to me why I was taking these classes in the first place. It made it very manageable, right? I still have a really hard time doing some of the exercises, but I don't make it mean anything or say, wow, I'm never going to get this. This is so hard, because it being easy is not the goal. When I was taking the other classes, I made it being easy the goal. And now that I was in this group format, I couldn't make it being easy the goal because it was actually just really, really hard. So then what is the goal, right? Why do we do things? Why do we push ourselves? Why do we challenge ourselves? What is really the goal? So that is part of understanding the goal delusion process. And then I have a really quick remedy for how we understand what our real goals are. And I'm going to give you that two-step process, and then I'm going to lead you through several different examples. And I hope from today's episode that you can apply to yourself, especially if you're doing any one of these things, like really ask yourself, what is the actual goal of this exercise class? What is the actual goal of this conversation? What is the actual goal of this interview? What is the actual goal? And then you can start to apply that to yourself so that you can really understand your levels of success, which when we have success, we feel motivated, we do more, we keep growing and growing and growing. So when I was taking those private exercise classes, I wanted to do more. I wanted to keep going. I wanted to keep going, right? Because I was having success every single day. And so what I needed to do if I was going to take the group class was create my own levels of success. I needed to create my own wins. And that's what I did by shifting the goal. I was like, maybe the goal isn't for this class to be easy. So why am I doing it? Well, it's because I'm getting the frick off the couch, right? So that's something to start to think about. So my process of understanding your goal delusion and really understanding what is the actual goal of the situation is to move from the fantastical to the analytical. So I'm going to give you an example here to explain what I mean by this. So let's say I coach you to meet with your CEO and you're very nervous about this. You're like, okay, Stacy, that seems like a very bad idea, but I'll do it anyway. And then you're leading up to the meeting and you're overthinking it and you're figuring out all the different things that you're going to talk about with your CEO, and you want to put together a whole PowerPoint presentation and you're getting all yourself all fired up and worked up and ready for this conversation because you're just going to knock it out of the park. If you're doing all of that work on the back end, it's because you think the goal of the meeting is to impress the CEO. That's what you think. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I can tell you that right now. You think that the goal of the meeting is to impress the CEO. Now, I want you to realize that that's not the goal. This is not why I tell you to schedule a meeting with your CEO. So how are we going to figure out what the goal of the meeting with the CEO really is? We're going to move to the fantastical. All right. So ask yourself in any situation where you have a goal, and these are very micro situations, right? Like I'm going to meet with this person. What is the best possible outcome? What is the most fantastical outcome that could possibly happen in this situation? And for the CEO, the answer would be the most fantastical option that could happen after this conversation is for that CEO to want to meet with me every single week to constantly ask me for my opinion, to think I'm the most amazing person in the whole world. So that is the fantastical, right? And that is what we're thinking when we create the goal to impress the CEO. We're like, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if the CEO just called on me night and day, like all the time, everything that I am, you know, he just thinks that I'm the best person in the whole world and I'm the go-to person at this organization. And so that's how we're approaching our goals. And we're sort of going at it by being like, all right, I got to get really close to that fantastical goal, like in one meeting. All right. Now I'm going to go like all the way to the other end of the spectrum and say, okay, if that's the goal, so now I'm really clear on what I really want out of this conversation, I'm going to do what is the most likely outcome of this conversation that is worth it, right? What is my next best goal to create this long-term fantastical goal of being able to have regular meeting with the CEO? And it is to get a second meeting. That's it. My goal of my first meeting with the CEO is to get a second meeting with the CEO. That's it. That is your actual goal. And if you're coaching with me, that's what I'm going to tell you your goal is. I'm going to be like, stop it. You're not there to impress, to be the most amazing person at the organization. All the things that you want out of this fantastical, hypothetical situation. What you need right now is just to get a second meeting. So we're going to bring it back to real time. We're going to analyze it and just sort of say, what's the simplest thing that could happen to get me just a teeny tiny bit closer to that big fantastical goal? And so the answer is very clearly to me to get a second meeting. So then how do you approach that conversation? You just have a conversation. You keep it short and sweet. You make sure you don't fail by bumbling over a bunch of things that you're working on. Maybe ask a few good questions in the CEO. And quite frankly, at the end of it, you ask for a second conversation. You actually ask for a second conversation. All right? That's a great example. Another example is asking for a raise. All right? So most of you are approaching asking for a raise as an opportunity to actually get a raise. So fantastical. What's the best possible outcome? I schedule a call with my human resources department. I say, you know, here's my plan. I want a raise. Here's my business case. Here's how I'm approaching it. This is why I'm worth it. Give me $50,000. And they're like, you know what? Here's $100,000. And you're like, yay, right? So when you have that fantastical goal and you think that it's like so close, then you approach the situation by overindulging, creating this business case, getting all of this information on the table, making sure that they know all the reasons why you're worth at least $50,000 more. When in reality, right, what we need to do when we're having a raise conversation, when we're having a conversation about our salary, is we need to open the door to a conversation about our salary. So we're under the delusion that a raise, like a salary conversation, is going to be about us getting a higher salary. When in reality, it opens the door to a conversation about us getting a higher salary. And so you know that the first step is going to be to even create a possibility about the fact that you deserve more money. You want to understand their process. You want to understand what kind of business case you need to put together. You feel proud of yourself because you even reached out to the person to have the conversation in the first place. All of those things are a better goal than actually getting the raise. Of course, that is our goal. Just like the goal with the CEO is to have regular meetings with the CEO. That would be amazing. But when we're thinking that that's going to happen out of the gate, when we think that going to the exercise class is going to just automatically be easy for us, then what we do is we feel like a failure over and over and over and over again. And then we stop going. We stop doing it. And so we have to remind ourselves of our real, actual goals in every situation. So let me just kind of rattle off some more so that you can take note and see if this is something that you're doing. So what is the goal of interviewing? So most of you would say that the goal of interviewing is to get the job, right? And I want to get the job. So then therefore, I'm going to go on this interview and I'm going to wow their socks off and they're going to, that's the fantastical, right? They're going to be like, sign me up, right? And so then what do? We put all our eggs in one basket. We overanalyze the organization. We think that, you know, is this the right job for me? Like, should I take this job? Even before we've gotten the interview, we're just sending in the application and we're overthinking it. We're acting as if we got the job. We're making sure we have the perfect cover letter, that we prove everything to them, that they're just like, you are the best thing ever in the whole world. And then they hire us. And that's how we're approaching even just submitting our application. Whereas the next best step to getting hired is to get an interview. That's it. That is a huge win. I got an interview. I had a conversation. And so the first thing that you want to do is spend as little time as possible getting your resume to a certain point where it passes the algorithm so that you get in the door and you have a conversation. When we're thinking about interviewing that way, then also what we're doing is we're thinking about what are 10 organizations that I can interview at? Because my goal is to figure out my resume as quick as possible so that I'm consistently getting interviews. And then we create another micro goal, which is how do I get to the final round of the interviews? And then we create another micro goal, which is how do I actually get the offer letter from multiple different companies? And so we're creating these small achievements along the way that are creating this bigger, fantastical goal is actually starting to become a reality, but we're making forward progress. We're really moving forward and we're getting out of that trap of imperfection, right? We're breaking free from taking this fantastical goal and making that the end all be all, the whole reason for our existence, the reason that we're constantly feeling like a failure. Another goal that we often get wrong is posting on LinkedIn. This is one that I see a lot of people do, is they think, if I create a posting plan on LinkedIn, then I can be seen as a thought leader. I want people to really know about what matters to me. I want to appear as a professional. I want lots of people to give me calls all the time, just like, you know, ask me for interviews. I want to speak on panels, whatever that might be for us, where we just become this influencer, so to speak. So we have this fantastical goal by posting on LinkedIn that we're going to become this, influencer. And that's a great goal. And a lot of my clients use their platforms like LinkedIn and podcast episodes to become that influencer. But what happens is when we think that that's the goal, that's the actual goal, and we don't make any forward progress and we're sitting there in paralysis because we realize that we have to come up with the perfect idea. We have to come up with the idea that's not going to offend our organization or make them think that we're thinking about leaving and starting our own business. We want to make sure we get a ton of likes on that particular post, right? We're overanalyzing what it's going to take to become that influencer. And so then we're not doing anything at all. Now, the funny thing about LinkedIn is my philosophy is not to post at all. And for a lot of my corporate leaders, I think it's actually too risky at the VP level, or actually by far at any level of your organization, to begin posting regularly, like the amount that you actually need to post if you want to be seen as an influencer, because your organization and other people are going to get wind of it and they're going to be like, what the heck is she doing? Is she representing our company correctly? Like, you know, you'll get sent into human resources. They'll have a conversation with you. Like, I don't care how progressive your company is, they're going to be looking at what you're posting. And so then you have to kind of censor how you're showing up and, you know, all of this crazy stuff. So I don't recommend posting on LinkedIn at all anyway. Instead, if your goal to post on LinkedIn is to be found, right, like by someone random. So that was part of that fantastical goal, is that You know, we have a line out the door of people wanting to work with us or wanting to book us for a panel discussion or wanting us to be on their board. Like, that's our fantastical goal. Then all you need to do is update your LinkedIn profile. That's it. Start by updating your LinkedIn profile, because the goal here is just to be found. And that is the easiest way to get found by the algorithm, is to update your profile. I see people who are posting all day long and their profile is crap, right? So spend time and energy in the right places by understanding what your real goal is. Let me see if I can come up with a couple more. So let me talk about meeting with other people. So one of them is like meeting with an old colleague. I hear this a lot. Someone will tell me, hey, I set up a bunch of 15-minute ally meetings with different people at different organizations, some people I haven't talked to in a while. I'm really looking forward to it. And then afterwards, I'm like, how did it go? And they were like, oh, it was nice. It was great. You know, we got along really well. And I'm like, did they give you anything? Did anything happen? And they're like, well, no, I mean, really, I just wanted to reconnect with them. And I just wanted to say hi. And I just wanted to get in front of them. And all of that is great if your goal is to be liked, right? So their goal when they're reconnecting with an old colleague is to have that old colleague like them. That's it. And then that sort of goes to that fantastical goal, which is like, you know, we have all of this huge network of people and they all like me and they're thinking about me and they're giving me opportunities. And so what I want to do is I just want to get in front of them again. And I think that's fine, right? But it doesn't actually get us anywhere. And a lot of us have enough friends. We have a very strong network of people that we like and people who like us. And so you really want to think about networking with old colleagues and people in your network if you're not just trying to add to your friend database, but you're really doing it from a genuine work standpoint and wanting to expand your career and opportunities, then you need to think about these connections as touch points to other connections. So your fantastical goal is to just have this huge network of people and they're calling on you. And so you schedule an appointment with an old colleague and they really like you, but yet you didn't actually take the time to get introduced to anybody that they know. You didn't take the time to really expand your network, to schedule a follow-up conversation, to make sure they introduce you to somebody at their organization so that you're just getting to know more and more and more and more people. And the goal when you have these conversations is, yes, of course, for them to like you, but you need to, at some point in the conversation, ask them to introduce you to somebody. That's it. So many people start with this big, huge goal, and you already see how that's creates paralysis, right? It's the reason that we have New Year's resolutions and then we don't follow through, because we have this big fantastical goal. I want you to have that big fantastical goal, but then I want you to break it down into a micro goal, and analyze it and say, what is the simplest, best possible outcome that I could have in this particular situation to move the needle forward towards my fantastical goal? If you do 10 of those a week, you are going to be closer to your big fantastical goal in a better way than spending 10 hours preparing for your conversation with human resources about giving you a raise. You just need to have that first conversation to even open the door. You just need to schedule the meeting with your CEO. That is the goal. Get in the door, get in front of people. We want people to see our face. That is the goal. We want people to even recognize our name. So many of us are procrastinating scheduling 15-minute ally meetings because we want to impress other people, when really the goal is just to have people recognize us. We just want people to know who we are. And this is so important for all of your goal achievement, for understanding your wins, for making forward progress, and also for being a dynamic executive leader. Because if you can begin to understand this for yourself, then you can translate this to other people. This is what I'm doing in my coaching sessions, is I'm translating it for everybody on the other side. And I'm reminding them of what the goal is so that we can pinpoint what is it that they really need to say in this conversation. What's the one non-negotiable? Why are they doing an interview in the first place? What's the point? Where are they at in the process? Is it for the interviews to be easy, or is it for them to just have an interview, right? And I think that understanding our goals, understanding where we're being delusional, is such a key to future success. So I hope this was useful. I hope you can apply it to some of your goals in 2024 and get more realistic and also make faster, more decisive forward progress. If you're interested in having some help in this area, this is what I do with my one-on-one coaching. I have an 8-week program. I'm making this accessible for everybody. It's a jump start so that you can really get used to, hey, where are you focusing on the wrong things? How can you point your attention in the right direction so that you can make faster, bigger, bolder forward progress and really have the power and influence at your organization that you already deserve? All right. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Before you go, I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, but have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the 5 categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be, or how far away you might be, and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve, and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time, so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. Yourpromotabilityscore.com, and let me know how it goes.